This is Naked by the Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. Brought to you by Vlady Meškobrestinska and Nektarios Lolios. And remember to subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help us share it with the world.
Hello, hello there.
Hi, Vlady.
Hi, Nektarios. It's very good to have you back. You scared us all. People don't know, but
yeah, I was supposed to be in Germany today, but I'm still in London. Where are you?
I am in the middle of Karachi. We just flew in yesterday from Islamabad. It's beautiful, sunny, hot. It's really warm here. That's it. That's it. It's really nice here. We're staying for another 3-4 weeks, and then I don't know. It's this ambiguity around what's happening right now in the world. Are we flying back home? But we can talk about it. So I'm a little bit in this state of mind of taking, I think these days, not even a day by day, but it feels like hour by hour a little bit. But how are you feeling? I mean, I know a little because I'm not going to pretend I don't know. We did check in, but I would love for you to also check in now with people who are with us.
I'm feeling okay. Thank you. Thanks for checking. I'm feeling very weak. And just for context, I fainted last week halfway through a Zoom call. And then I was, everything was spinning. I was feeling very, very ill. And turns out that after kind of a few hours of anxiety and anxiousness, I was told I had something called BPPV, which is a version of vertigo, which a lot of people have, and nobody, I've never heard of it, which just makes you feel very sick, but it's not life-threatening. But it took about 24 hours until I actually came to relaxing into it and just going through the motions and the process. But when you are on a Zoom call with your co-founders and suddenly you go, I'm not well, and then they don't hear from you whilst you're still connected to the Zoom call, they get scared. So it was all a very, very scary day until I had the diagnosis and this reassurance that it's fine. It's going to go back to normal. You just need to be a bit more careful. But also hearing that we don't really know what causes it, but age plays into this. It's just one of these reminders that I'm 55. It was literally like a week after my birthday, you know, it's like, you're no longer young. But I'm okay. Thanks for checking in. It's interesting when you take this as a moment in your week or in your day. And it all happens in a week where the whole world has been turned upside down with what's happening in Ukraine. So it's also about context and perspective, but it was scary as shit because there was a moment where I thought, am I having a stroke? Because that's how it feels.
Yeah. You were saying that we can get today pretty deep and pretty quickly, touching on some existential questions. I know that last week, we were talking about grief and loss, both in the context of us as individuals, human beings, but also as entrepreneurs. And I sort of felt like, I don't know about you, but I think also with this experience, I'm sure the related questions, right, open up, and you also were facing there was a funeral to go to of your favorite uncle. And I felt also that I was sort of on the same wave since we talked last time, and in some way was actually going even deeper for me specifically in connection with what's happening sort of at home back with Ukraine and in Slovakia and with my parents and close friends and just generally I think my people, if I can say it that way, being in the deep suffering. And it just brought all kinds of feeling and emotions and reflections of like being far away. And maybe I'll just share a little bit of that. And it's interesting. Is this conflict, emotional conflict, nearly of immediate reaction. So going like I found myself like part of my brain, and then I even research a little bit of this part of amygdala that goes into immediate reaction, and it's this sort of fight, flight, freeze mechanisms. And I felt that a lot of that was present in my last few days, where I wanted to really quickly figure out what can I do. What can I do from the place of being in Pakistan? I know it's far away. It's like, okay. And frankly, I also felt I was surrounded a lot by action-driven messages wherever I went on social media. It's like, yes, it's, these are the facts of what's happening, but this is how you should be helping or you can be helping. So part of me was, you know, I even straighten up my spine when I'm talking about it. It's like this action-driven, right, approach. Mm. And then on the other side, there was this sort of realization where I started to creating moments of pause. And I think I'm trying to get better at this because I wanted to actually recognize what I'm feeling. Like, what is the underlining, what's happening for me? Because I didn't want to only say that that's superficial, like, okay, I'm just going to now master it and execute an action and not allow myself to feel what I feel. I still feel that I want to do more of it, to do more of the pause and be in the present moment, be aware of how I feel being far away. Because that's certainly there. And it was really just this connection with emotion of fear, emotion of care. And I think where I wanna maybe sort of wrap it up is that after all, I really felt that in this moment there was just like a mix of different pressures and emotions, and it was just like a spiral of a tornado. And it was quite hard for me to untangle it. And unless I really consciously found those few moments of pause and also maybe relieving emotion through tears, through conversation, or just silence. And I'm still within it these days. So yeah, just wanted to sort of share. If you guys, some of you might maybe relate to this emotion, because I think there's just so much out there.
It's a lot going on, isn't it? And some of it is conflicting. Yeah. I find, even when you're talking about that, I kind of hear some of these things are not necessarily, they are conflicting. They sort of go against each other. Also, this need to hide. I noticed this for me. This is new.
Tell me more. What do you mean by the need to hide?
I normally, when something big happens in the world, I get a bit compulsive in reading about it. I want to know all the information. I want to have all the details. And right now, I really don't want to read about Ukraine because I worry that everything I read is going to be worse than the thing I read before. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually trying to avoid so it's a very bizarre kind of, I protect myself by blinkering myself a little bit. If that's the right way, right?
I totally feel you on that one. And I also feel like there is a sense of, for me, there was a sense of guilt around that. Mm. There was a little bit of sense of guilt for continuing life as usual. Mm. And that's what we do here. And especially in Pakistan, I must tell you, it's like, is it a topic of a daily conversation? Not really. And that made me, in some moments, you're feeling even more guilty of like, oh, okay, so I'm going to overcompensate by reading about it even more, right? Trying to find ways to help. And I was like, I want this to come from a place of clarity and good intention, not because I want to overcompensate or show to the world through social media that, hey, I'm doing also something, you know? I even caught myself in that emotion. And I was like, okay, red flag, you know? So I think it's all normal, so that the acceptance, like, it's coming, and the way of acceptance is warm, and it's a good feeling. But yeah, it was there. It was all there.
It's seriously, this can be today just about what's happening in Ukraine. Because I have two separate thoughts. Let's start with the first one. When you talked about the life goes on thing, you're in Pakistan. right? And you know, when we saw this ugly side, this racist side to the whole conflict, where Western journalists were saying this is different from other wars because it looks so much more like home. Yeah. I also noticed the opposite of that, where for people who aren't white, this looks like a lot further away than something close to home, right? And then I'm talking to people, like I was having a conversation with somebody in an African country last week, and just saying that for me, the scary thing is when I see these images of Ukraine is it looks a lot like Slovakia. It looks a lot like places where people that I'm very close to live in, right? So for me, it was this the same way that we ignore what's happening in Yemen, in Somalia, in Palestine or Afghanistan, whatever, because it's so far away. It's understandable that other people also don't care as much about it because it's so far away. The other thought related to what you said is, how do you continue a sense of normality and keeping the lights on whilst you're A, consumed by it, but you also don't want to look shallow? And I have a couple of friends whose business is their brand. And seeing them on social media just going on as normal, I find it conflicting. I still haven't found a way of describing how I feel about it. But having somebody focusing on promoting the book that they released a couple of months ago. And you go, I understand that it's a business, you worked hard for this. But it felt isolated from what's happening in the rest of the world. It felt a little bit, look at me, I'm so cool, I've written this cool book. And I thought, fine. But I wasn't sure where I draw the line between, or where the line is between business as usual, life has to go on, but also showing some sort of awareness that the world is currently a little bit more shaky than it was 10 days ago. And that added to my anxiety. Maybe that's
it. No, it absolutely does, right? Because I remember our conversation about, so we have a platform that has a voice, which is Future Farm, and then you have your other platforms. I have Neem in Pakistan, and one of my immediate thoughts was like, okay, we have a platform, we have a responsibility, we bear a responsibility to share awareness, to raise awareness, to use the platform to have a voice, to show to the world where we stand, right? And then potentially help others maybe, you know, find their own way in their own place. I'm with you on, I am not sure if I have a place for that line, if like where it specifically sort of sits, because I'm surrounded by a lot of people, especially in this part of the world, where yes, we can have a conversation, they recognize it. On a human level, there's a lot of empathy and compassion in some cases, but they very much continue with their life as usual, with their survival as well, whether it's business, et cetera. And their sort of reaction to it is that I have my mission and vision to serve. I can recognize what is happening, but I'm also, I think, you know what, there's this one question that I've had, which is around, and you said it, there are things happening in Myanmar right now. There is a genocide of Rohingya Muslims. There is Yemen happening. There's a lot of things happening globally. And I think that's where the anxiety or maybe confusion for some of us kicks in, which is like, okay, so what's the filter here? I'm going to use it for Ukraine because there's a proximity of closeness for me. And I'm not going to say anything about the, you know, the thousands of people slaughtered in Myanmar. And for me, the proximity of closeness right now, it's just very close for all kinds of reasons. I think I feel like it's also a very individual question to answer. As a business, as an individual, like I don't feel personally as bloody of having a guideline for this, frankly. It's it is blurry. But I can see how it also can be very black and white for some people. It's like, you know, like on a human level, you just must. This is your very human responsibility. I mean, So yeah. Oof. As I was sort of going through this, and I already touched base on it a little bit, today I was listening to a conversation. Actually, it's a monologue, but I felt like it's a conversation with me, although I was saying nothing. There's a person, Tara Brach. She has this beautiful series of meditations and talks on Spotify and different platforms. And for a long time, she has been sort of going deeper into self-compassion, topic of self-compassion, and also radical self-acceptance. And I was listening today about the radical self-acceptance, and I felt like it was fitting very well to the state of which I was in. And I thought that what we talked last time, because she was describing this moment of the spiral, the tornado that you can get into by all different triggers or events, like maybe grief, like maybe what's happening, you know, in the world, the suffering, atrocities. And she was sort of reflecting on how do you get into the place of some sort of inner peace. And it was very much that reflection that there is nothing you can do if you start looking towards the outside world. It all comes back to the inside again. And the radical self-acceptance was very much about the recognizing and allowing. And she was speaking specifically about two questions which might be helpful to ask ourselves, even at this moment. And one question was, what is happening inside me right now? What is it that I'm feeling? And staying with it for a while, recognizing it. And then the second question is, do I allow for it to stay? Can I be with it?
Mm.
And in that moment of allowing, right, and then going deeper, so what else is happening? Allowing, she says, you will allow yourself to actually really connect with that deep, caring emotion, the one that comes from a place of heart, and rather than the one that comes from amygdala, which is the fear and the, you know, fight, flight, freeze. And I thought that was something that really helped me in that moment, and I wanted to share, and all of us can try in those moments.
It's interesting to hear you describing it this way, because the one thing I've learned in my last round of therapy was not to try to fix something, but just stay with it, mm-hmm. right? And it was so hard because you want to do something with it, and not doing something with it is also doing something with it, which is exactly what you're describing, which is just allowing you to just be more aware. And that triggers some very, very different emotions and very different thought processes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But the way you phrased it, which with this kind of perspective of compassion and being kind to yourself is the key thing. Because the other thing is, even if we revisit the conversation we had 10 minutes ago, right? We're talking about how do we deal with the situation, and do we judge people who keep going on as normal? Do we judge people who don't care, etc.? But at the same time, it's about, come on, we're all human. We're all trying to do the best thing. And maybe it's also just take that moment to go, what's going on there?
Absolutely, right? Because the judgment is actually coming from a completely different place. And unless we pause and explore where it comes from, so it's a judgment on ourselves, but also towards the others, towards the other world. The other sort of part of it, which I really loved, is that she was actually acknowledging that this is continuous exercise. So it's not like once I'm going to do it and I'm like in this completely spiritual, you know, blissful place. It was a recognition that you need to continuously sort of going back to that place, and the pause needs to recurringly come. And it's interrupting habits and patterns that are just not helpful to us. So that was also useful because it took a pressure away from like, okay, but I feel it again. So I'm like this screwed up person. It didn't work with me. It's actually not true at all.
But it's really difficult to detach yourself from. And this ties very much into the entrepreneurial world we're addressing, this constant doing something about something, right? It's fixing things, it's growing things, it's designing things. It's my co-founders, who I've been quite vocal about, were not as open to having conversations about emotions. They had something which at the beginning I thought was amazing until I realized that it wasn't. And they called it solution mode. It was something that they valued in people. Okay. So whenever there was a problem, whenever there was a difficult situation, then we would switch into solution mode, which was trying to fix it, trying to talk to people. And there was a good element to it, but it removed the element of acknowledgement of what was actually happening, because you instantly went into this highly prized, highly valued thing about doing something, right? And yeah, when you come from a, I don't know, operational background or a product, whatever it is, like a professional background, where it's all about this forward, forward, forward. Just the fact that you stop and not do the forward bit and just stay there feels bad, feels negative, feels something that is counterintuitive, right? So it's so hard to go and I can look back at so many moments, and even now with the other business that we're building, where we have sometimes tension because I feel maybe this is a good moment to have a collective reflection about what's going on now. And I can see kind of the individuals around the table going, yeah, but we have to deliver this. And you go, well, if we don't do this now, whatever we deliver is not going to be the right thing. Right? So you can do this collectively, you can do this individually, but it's not easy to just also value the pause, because that will ultimately, well, at least in my experience, it helped me be kinder to myself and not beat myself up stuff that I have no control over.
But also that part that you just said, which is around that response, the solution mode, might come from a very different place. You know what I mean? It's like it can be much cleaner, the clarity of that emotion, etc., because it's not put under the rug. That's how I felt. It's like, okay, let's put it under the rug, close the eyes, and let's just do it. And sometimes I feel like sometimes it's literally a few minutes. It doesn't have to be that 3 hours, half a day retreat of reflections. We just actually, right before we recorded, Nadim and I had a conversation with, it was a due diligence conversation with an investor we thought will close our round. And we have been in a few rounds of conversations, and only today in a due diligence call, they told us that one of their key criteria for investing into the business is that the business have to be Sharia compliant. So that immediately disqualified us from anything. It was like immediate answer that we are not the right business for them to invest into. And I could just see on both of us the absolute drop of the excitement and energies, and we were back in the square one. Although we are on the journey, but we were back in the square one. And right after the call, I had to get ready for this podcast. Nadim was like running on the product stuff, and I just wanted that moment. It was literally a minute of let's look into each other's eyes and acknowledge that this hurts. It's effing hurts. It was painful. I was like, whew. And so I'm going to make sure we do it now. So we couldn't make it at that moment. Maybe that's also like, if it cannot happen in that moment, but just I think making sure that it does happen at some point is important. But I totally hear you. And also how sometimes the other side can feel or can express the frustration. It's like, what other reflection? So yeah. But I'm with you. I find the importance of this is there. It's, for me, it's very important to just get back into good emotional states.
I think for me, the biggest thing coming out of this awareness was I just stopped being so hard on myself. Because I grew up with this constant loop, this judgy voice in my head that was judging everything I do, you know, and when you just kind of become aware of it and you give it a shape or a name or whatever, and you take that moment to go, oh, this is going on. It's judging me as opposed to the cool me, the relaxed me, whatever. Then you realize that it's just one of the things that's going on in your head, and it doesn't have necessarily the right to have a louder voice than the other parts.
Yeah, you take the power away. I agree. Yeah. So Yeah, I feel like it's applicable to a variety of different situations or experiences. And I feel like you are going through your own experience right now and not sitting in a little bit different place, but actually it seems like this maybe experiment or this one pathways, which, you know, we can both try, and all of you maybe too, in your own experiences, is that pause and recognition and allow it to sit with it for a while and see what's really happening for you.
At some point during our conversation today, I had this feeling that we're a little bit disjointed, but we're not actually, because what we're saying is, and a bit triggered by the grief moments, the health moments, the political situation, is like, you need to take a moment just to also give yourself a bit of a hug. Because it's hard, right? It's really hard. And it doesn't matter if the trigger comes from outside, or if it's a fundraising chat, or if it's a colleague that's annoyed you, if you're struggling with whatever it is, it's taking that moment to just acknowledge what it is and going, I also need to look after myself. That's probably the red thread in our conversation, because I really feel it. I was probably a little bit more all over the place when we started talking, and this has been a sort of a public moment of going, oh, this is what's going on in my life right now. It's too many things I have no control over. None of them are positive. But at the same time, I know what's happening, and that's fine.
Yeah, I had this other, you ended in such a beautiful place, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It's like, I hope it doesn't destroy it, but I think it's a little bit maybe more superficial contribution to this conversation, but it's like, you know, today I was posting our last episode on LinkedIn about the grief and entrepreneurship and how we cope with it. And it took me a while because I really loved that episode and I wanted to put it out there to people like meaningfully. So it took me a while to sort of draft it. And then I put it out there with our sort of short clip and I waited for like half an hour and it wasn't getting any traction. So I completely freaked out and I took it down. I deleted it. Can you imagine? Like I'm still doing this. I'm still in those moments. I deleted it with the thought of like, oh, I probably have to rewrite it. You know, like I want to find a different way to put it to people. And I know this is a different type of experience, but it was in some ways similar because I was judging myself and I was like, I felt I'm judged by these pressures of like, not good enough. This was just not good enough. So just take it on, rewrite it, and get it to be. So I was like, what a crazy shit world. But anyhow, so yeah, I think I'm just going to give it a go and let it be. But I wanted to share because, those are also part, you know, moments and parts of the being.
I mean, joking aside, you said it's maybe a bit superficial. It's not. The reason I started learning to acknowledge what's happening in the judgy side was when I told my therapist about me not getting any response on Twitter anymore. And she would ask me, why does it matter? So there is this thing about validation, which is related to that inner voice and all the insecurities that we carry with us. So I think overall, it totally fits within that and it's not superficial at all. It's exactly an example of how this can manifest, right?
Yeah. And I felt that the need of validation, it's weird because I felt like, I feel like I want to be in a different place, but okay, I'm with, like, again, this is a complete therapy now, but it's like, I'm trying to accept where I am, but I felt that the need for validation these past few days in the week on my side has amplified. It's like even bigger because it's like, I feel like whatever I say needs to really resonate or should resonate or be really meaningful, like because of what's happening in the world, and you don't want to come across as superficial, whatever. So, yeah. So if you feel like this, keep in mind, you are not alone. We are only together. So
just take a moment.
Anyhow, take a moment. Thanks for this conversation, Victoria.
Thank you, Vladi.
It was helpful, actually. Keep well, everybody out there.
You've been listening to Naked by The Future Farm, where entrepreneurship is stripped to its vulnerable core. To learn more about our work, sign up to our newsletter or visit thefuturefarm.co, where you can also apply to be a Naked guest. And remember, subscribe, follow, and rate Naked to help share it with the world.